Welcome to this week's Mongol Show. I am Matt Mongol. Always appreciate you hanging out with us each week as we talk about what's happening on the big screen, little screen, pretty much anything in between. If you're listening Saturday night to the radio show, maybe Sunday on our rebroadcast or the podcast, which is the best way to take us wherever you go, we appreciate you hanging out. Remember, everything we do, it's mongolshow.com. Joining me, as always, from thischicksflix.com, it is Susan Kamyap-Stevens.
Hey.
But we're going to get into the Critics' Choice Super Awards. The nominations, as we were recording this, the nominations came out this week, which is perfect timing, as you said. So I'm excited to get into that. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get into all of them, but I have a feeling we're going to do our live on-show voting, like always, right?
Yeah, we have to. That's always fun.
When they open up the ballot. So we'll touch base definitely on some of the main categories. But before we do that, I want to test your knowledge on NBC must-see TV lineup. Because I know NBC's must-see TV was a big thing.
Do they still have that? Is that a thing anymore?
I don't think they do. But I was looking up something else and I came across this. And I was like, I wonder if Susan would know this because I did not. So I was looking at this. I'm going to let you know it was the 1996-97 season. So that kind of gives you the time frame. Okay. It was NBC's must-see TV lineup.
Which is most on Thursday night, right?
The most watched programs. I'm going to give you the top. There's the top four as far as ratings go. Number one was ER. Number two was Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Number four was Friends.
Four. We skipped. What's three?
That's the thing is I don't even think I had ever. I'm sure I'd heard of the show, but number three was one I had no idea what it was about. And the fact that it was number three with ER, Seinfeld, and Friends means it must have been pretty popular.
Well, you said it was 96?
Yeah, 96, 97.
96, 97. So Friends had been on. What year did Friends come on?
I couldn't remember if Friends started earlier in the 90s.
Because Friends came bigger the more it went. Yeah, so Friends launched in 94. I mean,
but the fact that this show had a higher rating than Friends, and I had literally, we may have even mentioned it on this show in passing. And the only reason it stands out to me is like, well, if anybody's going to remember this show, it would be you, I would think.
I don't know.
But the fact that it got a number three rating behind ER and Seinfeld for NBC's Monday City TV, I'm like, how have I never, if I've heard of it.
It's not Mad About You, is it?
Nope.
Well, okay. I just don't know what would be Friends.
I know.
What was on NBC with that lineup? You said ER. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. And obviously Seinfeld. I mean, I remember other shows that there's no way that those be like Suddenly Susan. I remember that. Or Veronica's Closet might have been CBS.
You just said it.
I just said it?
Yeah. It was Suddenly Susan.
It was Suddenly Susan? I was right.
Suddenly Susan was number three. That's crazy that you pulled that you just mentioned that in passing. I don't remember that show.
Oh, wow. I didn't. That beat Friends? That must have just been like this peak season or something. I mean, I was obsessed with Suddenly Susan when it came out. Yeah, it's Brooke Shields.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously I thought of you because I was like, well, if anybody knows Suddenly Susan, it'd be Susan.
Yeah. So I did watch that show. Yeah. Well, I was really into the NBC lineup.
I thought I was too, but I don't know if I was because I mean, and you know what a big fan of Brooke Shields I am.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
She was stunning in that show. Oh my God. She was.
Yeah. And the guy that went on to be one of the bad guys on Lost, he was the brother, I think, because I guess her brother owned. Our brother owned a magazine and she had just broken up or she got jilted on her wedding day.
She had, I want to say Judd Nelson was in that show because he was a potential. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm about to look it up.
You're right. Brooke Shields, Judd Nelson. Wow. Look at you, memory.
He was like a love interest. So this show was so big. Okay. There was a lot of like iconic things in this. Yeah. I'm just looking at the cast. So yeah.
Kathy Griffin, Nestor Carbonell.
Kathy Griffin, that was like what launched her, like for me. Like I didn't know who she was until that show.
Right. And then the Nestor guy, he was big on Lost and some other show he was on later on. He was on when they did the reboot of Psycho, when they did Bates Motel. He was on Bates Motel. He was a sheriff.
So that girl, so there's a couple of people that like definitely. So I remember there was an episode. There's this actor, David Strickland, and he played Todd. And this is like what haunts me on the thing, which also, yeah, Nestor Carbonell or whatever. He's really good on this. He was a really good character, like funny. But Todd on that show, he was a really like lovable character. I was so young. I just remember there's this really weird episode, super dark. They kind of advertised it. And it was like, where's Todd? Like nobody knew where he was. And there was this like dark undertone. And my sister had to explain it to me later because I watched it with her. The actor in real life had committed suicide. So, and it was completely like, they didn't know how to, I don't think they knew how to handle it. And it was such a dark episode. It was like, they were searching for him. They don't even like acknowledge it. Like they don't say what happened, but wow. It's like, you know, he passed. It was so powerful. Like, I think that was really wild when that happened, but
that's pretty haunting for a show. Like, I guess they didn't back then film them so far in advance where to be able to just have to cover it that quick. Mm-hmm. It seemed like there'd been some in the can or something. That's crazy. That's
he suffered. Wild. He suffered from bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
So wow. Yeah, and so it was. Yeah, so it's following a night of partying with friends. He checked in a motel. I don't know how bleak we want to go, but he, want me to say what he did in the hotel?
Yeah, I mean,
He hanged himself with a bed sheet. A few weeks later, the cast of the series on which, Suddenly Susan recorded an episode in tribute to him. Wow. In 96. And that's why Suddenly Susan beat Friends that year.
Wow. There's the end. Look at that, Sherlock Holmes.
There's
wow. That's why, because it was such a, everybody was tuning in because it was such a, and especially back then when there wasn't social media. I mean, you just had to know that. I mean, you had to, you know, there wasn't all this finding stuff out early
in
or late.
The news. He was in a relationship with Tiffany Amber Thiessen during the time too.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I just remember like that was just like, I don't know. I just like that episode really, like I remember that episode and I can remember that one really vividly. So it makes sense. I was like I wondered if it was that season. And there was like a peak thing, but like Judd Nelson and Susan had a really good, or Brooke Shields, they had some good chemistry. There was some, I liked that show a lot.
Yeah, I was really just surprised too when I looked it up and the people like Eric Idle and Sherry Shepherd and like some of the people we've mentioned that were in it, but that's crazy. I never watched it for some, but that's just so weird. Again, only because I'm such a fan of Brooke Shields. Mm-hmm. So that's just, unless my mind is just purged it. I mean, my brain is just snuck it out somewhere and said, you don't need to remember this ever again.
I mean, it certainly, I don't even think it lasted crazy long.
It was four seasons.
Which is good for that time. Mm-hmm. Especially because they were long seasons.
Right.
You know, that's the time, that's the era of like the 20 plus episodes in a season, not like eight. So yeah, I remember when the show, but like, see, it didn't have a longevity of Friends because I want to say like, you know, the first two seasons, it could notice when it lost its momentum.
Right. It's wild. Yeah. So I wonder if it's in syndication somewhere. I wonder if it's streaming anywhere. It'd be interesting to go back and watch some of that because I've never even seen it pop up on any of my streaming channels.
No, you can pay $17.99 to buy it on Prime, which I would not.
Yeah. No, I don't want to see it that bad.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right. Well, we'll see. I learned something. I just learned all about this show and the rating. Mm-hmm. And that answers the question, too. I was like, because that's what really stuck out. Not only because Suddenly Susan just reminded me of you.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, how did that sneak in there that high? But now that makes sense because of what was going on in the personal lives and how they confronted that on the show. That makes perfect sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is wild though. I'm like really shocked. I didn't think like I immediately I thought suddenly Susan, but I didn't even say it out loud right away because I was like, it's not that. I said, there's no way. It wasn't suddenly Susan, but geez, okay.
And right. Sure enough.
She had that star power when that show came out though, because I remember the only reason we watched it is my family loved Brooke Shields. So
I think most people did. Yeah. She was just at that time. And she's still going strong. I mean, it's just great. The thing she's doing.
Anything she's in, people, I'll watch anything with her.
And she, you know, because she went through a really bad postpartum depression era and kind of went through some stuff and she was struggling. And so I know she got a, you know, she was a big advocate for mental health. And so it's good to see her making sort of that push forward now. I think she still got it for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Well, let's talk about, we mentioned the Critics' Choice Super Awards are coming up. The nominees were announced this week. Winners are going to be announced Thursday, August the 6th by press release and really online only. So if you follow either one of our sites, and obviously you're listening to the show, we're going to be talking about the winners. We're not going to do a full-blown show like our other award shows, but which is a shame because to me, this is one of my favorite. This is a really fun one, the Super Awards.
It is a fun one. I do think, and I do think we did a lot better this year than we did last year. I remember last year I was very annoyed. I know we both were because we were like nominating things that like won for the, either they already won for the awards or were nominated, you know, or we were picking things like Sinners. And it was like, can you guys like save Sinners for the Oscars? Like our big show, you know, like we need to like, and I think that's like my main thing is that I want us to focus on giving credit. Like we made the Super Award. So films that don't get recognized during award season get recognized. So,
right. And there's still even some odd ones in here. And I think I figured out the wrinkle, like best horror movie. You have movies that are still in the theater and then ones that I feel like came out in the theater and literally did a year ago, like Weapons. Like Weapons is nominated against Backrooms, but, and I was like, well, why did they then, if Weapons is in there, why not Sinners? Well, Sinners came out early last year. Weapons came out in August. So Weapons is like right on that cusp.
Yeah. I think
the cutoff was like end of July, first of August. So the fact that Weapons came out literally a year ago, a week from now, it's still eligible. So. For some people, that might be like kind of weird. It's like, well, why is that old movie in there along with movies still in the theater? But that's kind of, I guess, the window is August to August.
Yeah, but it kind of like, I mean, I just, again, I feel like Weapons, we did that. It was so big during award season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Amy Madigan won an Oscar for it. It was nominated. It's one of those things I'm like, I mean, it's fine. I'm not as mad about it because it is truly a horror and I get it. But yeah, it's just like, you know, right now it's like Obsession is on my mind. So,
right. Yeah. So when you see things like Weapons 28 years later, even Fantastic Four First Steps, I'm like, wow, I feel like
Fantastic Four First Steps is just bad. So, yeah.
I know. And it got nominated for a lot of stuff. But it is the Super Award. So, I mean, it's sci-fi action. This is where these movies live, I feel like.
I know.
All right. Well, do you want to do movies or television to make sure? Or do you just want to kind of jump back and forth and take some of the main categories for both for now? Like I said, we're going to be obviously doing every single category when we vote live on the show. Mm-hmm. Probably even be talking more even next week. But what do you want to cover?
I mean, I'm looking at the list on our site. We can start. With like, let's start with the movies.
Okay.
All right. Just going over the big ones. I mean, it's not terribly long. I mean, yeah, I think the action one is pretty good. We're the Furious. I did watch the Mike, Nick and Alice. That's fine for action. I don't know what Motor City is.
Motor City is the one with Alan Rickman. I think that's his name. The guy that plays the new Jack Reacher. He's kind of the big dude. I think that's his new series.
Okay, The Naked Gun, I feel like, how did that get? It feels so old.
It does feel old.
That one feels old to me. Normal and The Rip, I'm so happy The Rip is in there. I really think that one, I love that film. Unfortunately, The Furious is probably going to take that one, but I don't know.
I was curious where that would fall. I mean, you were in this nomination category or you were in the horror nomination? You were in this one too?
I was in this too.
What was kind of the pulse for everybody? Was it The Furious kind of on everybody's?
So the Furious for sure, but there is a lot of people pushing the Rip because they're like, that's like a good, what this category is, action film. Mm-hmm. I think like Naked Gun just shouldn't even be in here, honestly. I don't think it should be in here. Normal is definitely the right, that's a good spot for it. The Mike, Nick, and Alice, I'm not mad about. It just isn't a very good movie. So, yeah. But
I hope the Rip had this great twist that I didn't see coming. Yes. And when you can pull a twist out of nowhere this day and age, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people are going to pick The Furious as long as they, it really depends on people if they watch it. I think that's the thing. But that seems to be where people were kind of at, was The Furious and The Rip. But I don't know. I mean, that's just, you know.
But yeah. Are you surprised then, because then we move into Best Actor in an Action Movie, that Matt Damon, I'm not surprised Matt Damon was nominated for The Rip, but there's no Ben Affleck.
Yeah, he was pretty strong. That annoyed me, because I nominated both of them. And I just think that for some reason, people are doing this thing where people don't like Ben Affleck for some reason. It's like they don't want to give him the credit where it's due. And I'm like, he's a good actor. He's a great director. Maybe they just didn't want to split the votes. But I thought both Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were even on that film. So I would have put them both in there. Obviously, Taron Egerton was like, from just the clips, he looks great in Apex.
Yeah, he is unhinged in Apex. He's fun to watch.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Zhao Mai? Mayo?
Yeah, for The Furious. Yeah, I haven't watched The Furious. Him and Joe Taslim, both from The Furious, are in there.
They're both good so far. I'm almost done with it. But what I've seen is really good. But I think at this point, I think I'd pick Zhao. I think that's the one who's playing the dad. Whoever's playing the dad is the one that's like really great in it so far that I would pick even over. Yeah, Mao. Which, okay, I don't know why our group has put it. So just FYI, if you go to his IMDb, and I put this correctly on my nomination because I noticed this too. It's Miao Zai, not Zai. They put it, like, they switched it.
Oh, so they got his last name first, huh?
Yeah, it's weird. So, I don't know. That's who I probably would vote for right now, because he's just, like, just in the first hour or whatever, 40 minutes we've watched, he's been unbelievable.
Nice.
So, yeah, but I don't know. And Bob Odenkirk is really good too, but nothing compared to what this guy's doing.
Yeah. And Bob Odenkirk has that name. I mean, everybody is a fan of his, like Matt Damon. I mean, he carries Matt, Taron, and Bob. It carries some weight, just name alone.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to watch the Norm. I was talking to the press rep about that earlier this week. And I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to watch it, but I know it's now out on Blu-ray and DVD. So most everybody can watch it. And I think it's even streaming in some places, so people can see.
Well, you should watch The Furious.
I might. I mean, the cover just looks like Ip Man and all those other movies I've seen a million times. But now that it's been nominated, I'm definitely going to watch it before we vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love Alan Ritchson from Motor City. I just like him.
I love Alan Ritchson. I do really like him a lot too. Yeah. I need to see that. Normal you can watch too. You would like Normal, but yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it. It reminds me of Nobody. Or what was it?
It's literally, yeah, he's playing the same guy, basically. Honestly. But yeah, actress in action movie. Again, Pamela Anderson, no. I think the last three here is like a biggie, like Charlize Theron for Apex, Samara Weaving. I did watch Over Your Dead Body. I watched that one. She is great in it. She's actually really good. I think actually I would pick her in that over her in Ready or Not 2.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that was the right call. And then Maddie Ziegler in Pretty Lethal. That was a fun movie that you'd probably enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's on Prime. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to think about that. Is there anything you're eyeing on that?
I mean, and even as great as Charlize is, I mean, there was nothing special she did in Apex. There wasn't like, ooh, that's, I'm glad Charlize was. I mean, I think you could have put anybody in that role and it would have been fine. I think Taryn is the one that stands out. So, yeah, right. I'm fine with whoever pops up in this one. I want to see Over Your Dead Body because I always have liked Samara in all these kind of movies, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really entertaining, and Jason Segel's in it too, so it's a fun one.
Nice. Well, that's the action categories. Then we move on to Best Superhero Movie. Again, Critics' Choice Super Awards. We're the only people doing this, giving love to these movies that we'd love to go see in the theaters. So, got Demon Slayer, Exit 8, Fantastic Four. It's back in there. Masters of Universe, Mortal Kombat 2, Supergirl, and Superman.
Which is
it's a no-brainer for me, but I think
a no-brainer too. And this, I was going to say, like, I think this is where I'm okay, where like, I feel like some people might be like, oh, Superman feels old, but I'm like, that one didn't get any attention. That one didn't get any award recognition. And to me, Superman is why we make the Super Awards.
Exactly.
Like, specifically. So Superman all the way, this one's already deadlocked for me. I mean, it's just a no-brainer, like you said, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the only one I'm not familiar with is Exit 8. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, me too. I remember looking that up. It just didn't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. That looked like more horror-ish, but maybe it's based off like, no, we have a video game category. It looked almost like a video game.
Huh, I don't know. Well, obviously, Superman did well because it pulled 3 actor nominations for David, Edie, and Nicholas. Man, as great as David was, I mean, Nicholas Holt was amazing in Superman.
I know, that's the thing. Like, obviously, I'm going to pick between those two, but I think, well, I don't know. David has some really good moments, though. He has some, like, moments where he really is, like, giving his emotion there. But I do think... I remember coming out of Superman and thinking that was like Nicholas Holt's best performance yet. I was like, holy crap. I thought that was the best Lex Luthor. I don't know. It might have to go to him. I don't know. I'll probably decide the day of, but
it. When you get somebody like Nicholas Holt, who's done so many unlikable characters, so many of his characters I've just despised for him to do that. And then come out of a superhero movie and you'd be like, that was amazing. And like you said, we've seen so many Lex Luthers, the best one yet. So easily. For him to bring that level of commitment to a superhero movie, I thought was just crazy good. So I would love for him to win, but it's going to be hard. When we're voting in a couple of weeks on the show, it's going to be a tough one.
This is going to be, I need to think on that. I will tell you, the next hard one is best actress in a superhero movie, because I don't know if I feel strong. Well,
is this reverse? I'm looking at this going, nothing stands out.
Like, I love Rachel Brosnahan, but I'm not voting for her for this.
She was okay. I mean, Julia Garner and Vanessa Kirby were okay in Fantastic Four.
Get out of here with Julia Garner. Come on. That was like, we just didn't have it. We didn't even need some of these categories. I'm like, why do we have so many people? No Julia Garner. Vanessa Kirby was the only one who was like really acting in that movie, but. Right. Still no. I might actually pick Adeline Rudolph because she was really, I don't know if you watch Mortal Kombat 2.
I haven't seen MK2 yet.
She was pretty incredible. I mean, Millie's not bad in Supergirl. She's not bad. The movie's bad, but she's not bad.
Mm-hmm. And she's I like really Millie. Good. Even the little tiny minuscule part she had in Superman, she's loved. Good. So...
I mean, I think it's actually between those two for me. I'm probably going to pick Millie or Adeline because my whole review, even though I did not care for Supergirl, you haven't seen it yet, right?
Not yet.
Yeah, I was like, she is great in it and she would be a good, like she'll, if she continues on, she'll do a good job. Like I like her as Supergirl.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the whole lineup in the Superman, Supergirl world we have right now, I'd love to see in a few more films, you know, and in that character for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's one of my favorite categories, which used to didn't be. I don't know what happened to my brain lately.
No, I know. I love horror now, too.
I know. Isn't that wild? What does that say about us? Best horror movie. Some oldies but goodies. We kind of touched on this at the top of the show. Weapons and 28 Years Later, Bone Temple. Been out for a while, even The Long Walk. But then you got Backrooms, Obsession, and Send Help. This is just, if this doesn't win 100%, I don't know what people are doing. I mean, it's got to be Obsession, right? Is there anybody not voting for Obsession?
I think Weapons is, it's definitely, like, I saw a lot of people picking Weapons as their number one. I think Weapons stands a really good chance of getting it because people, you know, that was the award thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even mad if Weapons won. Obviously, I loved it. I know I'm voting for Obsession because right now, currently, for me, Weapons was the best horror film last year. And it was great. And if it was like Superman, where like in that category that we just saw, there was no other, you know, like Superman was still the best out of all those, I'd be like, yeah. But right now, the best horror film for me is Obsession. It's so good. Like, I have to pick Obsession. So I think it's going to be between those. Although a lot of people like Bone Temple as well.
I love Bone Temple. 28 Years Later, Bone Temple was such a great movie. I don't think it's as great as Obsession and Weapons. And I'm trying to be fair because as you were talking, I'm like, well, if I had to be fair, and let's say Weapons and Obsession both came out at exactly the same time. Like Weapons came out 2 weeks ago and I just saw it and it was so fresh. I don't know. This would be tough if I had to. And it's even tough now to think between Obsession and Weapons as far as an overall best horror film.
Yeah.
You know, looking at all things that way instead of being, man, Weapons, I'm just over it. If I look at them fairly, I don't know, man. That's going to be tough. I'm going to have to give that some thought in a couple weeks.
It's also how people vote, right? Like, so when I watched Weapons, you were there. I was petrified. Like, I had trouble. I was scared. It affected me in, like, a horror aspect, and it was very scary. Obsession had scary parts, but I just love the story, love the movie. I think it's just such a creative horror flick. I can't get mad at either one, but for me, I am currently in Obsession mode. So I will go that way. So I think it's going to be between those two, honestly, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Bone Temple is more for actor. Maybe it's going to be one of those though.
Yeah. Cause I was going to ask you if your love for Obsession is going to carry over to acting or if you're going to lean more towards like an Adam Scott or Tweedle Edgefor.
I actually think I am torn, even though I do think Michael Johnston was incredible in Obsession. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a great job.
He was incredible in his subtlety because he had to be very subtle to play off of what she was doing. And so that takes a lot of reserve. And that's what I appreciated about him.
Yeah, I think he did a great job. I might be voting. Did you watch The Long Walk?
I did, man. And you know, I love that book, and it took me, I've said for generations, why hasn't somebody made this into a movie? Now that they have, it was hard to watch in a good way.
I never want to watch it away again.
I don't either. It was so powerful and just, I think, captured the story so well. So yeah, David Johnson, I mean, anybody in The Long Walk to me, I think did a fabulous job.
Everyone did great in that film. And I think, I remember watching it and I thought David Johnson was going to be a lock for supporting actor nomination. I didn't think he was going to win, but I was like, nomination. Right. When that movie didn't get anything this Oscars, I was shocked. I mean, they just didn't really like promote it. Or I was going to say
they didn't promote it at all. They didn't really get behind it.
We didn't even get screeners for it or anything. It was like the weirdest thing.
I had to get a subscription to Stars to watch it.
Yeah,
now it's on Netflix.
Trevor literally paid to rent it. I was like, what? This is crazy.
I almost did because I was like I said, so I love the book so much. And I was just like, I got to see how they pull this off. So it was great.
I think David Johnson or Chitawel But I'm leaning towards David just because, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Chitwell is the only thing I really thought was, I mean, you know how I feel about Backrooms, but he did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, he was, I didn't like Backrooms at all. But I thought he did what he had to do with it. Ralph Fiennes in Bone Temple, even Jack O'Connell in Bone Temple, they both just put it out there, man. So I wouldn't be upset if Ralph or Michael or David or Jack won. And I haven't seen Holcomb yet. I know you really liked Holcomb, but I don't know.
I did like it. I don't think Adam Scott should win though. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ralph Fiennes wins though, because that's what I saw a lot of people picking. So I feel like it's likely going to be him. But I was happy to see the love for like Michael Johnston and David Johnson. So and Chitwell. So I don't know. That's a tough category, to be honest.
It is. And then we get into Best Actress in a Horror Movie. And Together was one of those movies everybody was talking about, but the only place I see it mentioned here is for Alison Brie.
I am so annoyed because a lot of people, I feel like, nominated that. And I thought I think Dave Franco should be nominated for sure. His physical performance, his physicality is insane. And then the movie should be nominated. It was so good. It was such a great film, but whatever. I'm glad Alison Brie got a nomination. I'm not going to vote for her, but I'm glad she's there.
Glad she's there, but you're not getting my vote. Yeah.
No. Certainly don't want not voting for. I freaking hated The Bride. I did not like that movie.
You know, The Bride wasn't a great movie, but Jessie Buckley did a good job.
She did, but her character was so annoying. I could not stand her character.
I couldn't either, but I have watching her even in that first opening 5-10 minutes, it was like, ooh, this is she's taking like something that's not great and making it powerful just by her performance and her expressions. But I mean, if you took Indy out of this, Indy who's an Obsession, I mean, Rachel McAdams was great in Send Help, I thought.
She was so good.
Just being unhinged. Amy Madigan, we've talked about, won an Oscar and a bunch of other awards. But I think it's Indy for Obsession. I mean, I couldn't vote for anybody else right now.
It's 1000% Indy. And maybe I said this to you too, but Trevor and I said this after we watched Obsession. We said if we were going to vote against, like, if it was, because I said after it was done, I was like, she needs to be nominated for an Oscar for this performance. Like, she deserves, if that Weapons lady can win, you know, if Amy Matt, and he was like, seriously? Because he was like, I would pick her performance in that over the lady in Weapons. Like, so yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know I'm picking Indy. She was incredible.
Same. Yeah. It was just, and you know, and it's not one of those things where, I mean, it was a lot of physicality and just capturing us with just facially, I don't know. It's hard to explain because I'm not an actor, but just watching it going, she's making it look easy. And I know that's not easy.
No. Oh my God. That alone. That just like the way she did it, like, no.
And her telling the Hansel and Gretel story, it was like, okay. Wow.
She's so good. Her smiles, I can't even do it. She's so good. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump over here to best sci-fi fantasy movie. This category bothers me because I feel like this was last year's. I mean, we had Begonia, Frankenstein, Predator, Badlands. I mean, luckily Project Hail Mary and Disclosure Day are in here, but
literally the only ones that should be in here is Disclosure Day, Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, I Love Boosters, and Project Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And surely there's something else you could fit. But yeah, like Begonia, really? That's so old. Frankenstein's old. Badlands is old.
Yeah.
I personally loved Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. I thought that was a lot of fun. But I think, I mean, honestly, I think Project Hail Mary is going to take it unless people, for some reason, they are going to lie that they like Disclosure Day.
Yeah, I think Project Hail Mary, as much as I was disappointed with it in the theater, same, and even the second time I watched it, I was like, eh. I still feel like because of the masses of people that it attracted and the people who have liked it, and if you watch it just from a movie scale, I think it deserves to win. I mean,
I honestly will probably vote for it because it's best science fiction fantasy movie, and that's what it is. I mean, as compared to Disclosure Day, I pick it in a heartbeat over that. So
yeah. Does that mean you're picking Ryan for Project Hail Mary for best actor in a science fiction fantasy movie?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. there were some other positives in here. I mean,
I do love Sam Rockwell, but Ryan carries Project Hail Mary.
Yeah. And I love Jesse Plemons in Begonia. I thought he was great, but again, it was, I just feel like, I don't know. I mean,
Ryan was nominated for the awards. That was like, come on, we need to like, there needs to be some sort of like the people who got nominated so much during award season. I think it's like, okay, let's give it to somebody.
Yeah. And that's what best actress in a science fiction movie is going to be hard because I mean, Emily Blunt nails at everything she does.
Did you watch Disclosure Day yet?
I haven't seen it yet, I've just watched her. And then Sandra Hüller, I loved in Project Hail Mary. Her dryness was incredible. But Emma Stone, I mean, if they're going to put her in there, I have to go with Emma Stone again. And I feel weird about that because it's so old, but
you need to watch Disclosure Day because Emily Blunt's the only good thing, and I'll be voting for her for that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to see it before we vote. I'm going to find a way.
Because she does a really phenomenal job. I was like very impressed with her. But just, awesome. Man, I hated that movie.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna see it at some point. And then to wrap up the movie part of the CCA Awards, best villain in a movie. I love that we do this for a category.
Yeah.
Una Chaplin for Avatar, Nicholas Holt, Superman, Michael Johnston, Obsession. I don't see him as a villain.
Yeah.
Jared Leto, Masters of the Universe, and Amy Madigan, Weapons. I gotta go Nicholas Holt, man.
So it's funny. I was really shocked because when we were nominating, somebody pointed out, like, I'm shocked you guys are picking like Michael Johnston and we were I picked Rachel McAdams for Send Help because I did think she was a villain.
Oh, she was a great interesting villain.
And so I'm kind of surprised Rachel McAdams is not in this one. I'm torn between Amy Madigan and Nicholas Holt. I don't know what I'll decide the day of. That was the only thing I was like, well, maybe I'll pick Amy for best. Cause she's a great villain, but I mean, so is Nicholas Holt. Yeah. And Michael Johnston. No,
it kind of depends on what you look at as a villain. Like what is a villain? Amy Madigan was unhinged and she was crazy. Lex Luthor's more of a villain when I think villain.
That is a good argument.
You know, actually, instead of just because if you put Jason Voorhees in there as a villain, no, he's just a crazy killer. He's not really a villain.
I think you actually just swung my vote because you literally just nailed it. You're like, best villain, Lex Luthor's a villain. That's it. I'm voting for him.
Yeah, he's got a lair and a cat and he's just so that's me is always going to be villain. So cool. Again, the Critics' Choice Association's 6th annual Critics' Choice Super Awards. We're going to announce the winners Thursday, August the 6th. Next week, Susan and I will obviously cover the TV categories and the nominations there. And then one of our favorite shows we do each year is we will vote live here on the show for the Super Awards so you can know exactly what we're picking and then announce the awards and who wins on August the 6th. Again, don't forget, check out everything we do at mongolshow.com. For Susan, it is thischicksflix.com. We'll be back with more of the big screen, little screen, everything in between next week.